There's another subject I wanted to speak on. And I thought I would begin it by telling you about the time I bought a mattress a while back. Of course, mattresses are not like, you know, they're not that high tech usually. But I went to a mattress store because I needed a mattress. And I was living in Tennessee at the time. And, you know, I went, all I wanted was a mattress. I mean, I didn't want a lot of bells and whistles. I just wanted a mattress. And this guy ushered me in. I felt almost like I was in a used car lot because he started telling me all this about this marvelous mattress, even the cheaper ones or the less expensive ones. He was going on and on and on and on and on about. And then he told me at the end of his dissertation about how wonderful this mattress was going to be that in Tennessee, our word is our bond. Anytime we say something, he said, you can count on it that it's the truth. And quite frankly, I was pretty convinced that he had overstated the brilliancy of this mattress. Well, it made me think about something because I thought I would like to take a look at one of the Ten Commandments today, the ninth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness. Because I think it's something we all should be aware of. You know, we're Christians. We are required to tell the truth. Let's just be flat out about it. We are required to tell the truth because God is watching me, he's watching you, and he's watching us to see if we tell the truth. Now, at the very end of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, let's turn back there because this is the last chapter of the entire Bible. So wouldn't you think, in fact, wouldn't you be almost positive that if it's in the last chapter of the Bible, it's sort of like rather important, would you not say? And in chapter 22, now, here is John, and the angel is talking to John, and verse 13, it says, these are the words of Jesus Christ, actually, it says, I am the Alpha, I'm the Omega, I'm the beginning, and I'm the end, I'm the first and the last. Jesus Christ is the Alpha, the first letter of the alphabet, to the end of the alphabet. He's the beginning of everything. He's the end of everything. He's the first, and he is the last. He encompasses everything. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life. Well, we all want to have a right to the tree of life. We all want to be in God's kingdom, do we not? Of course we do. That they may enter through the gates into the city. And then he says, but outside are dogs. Now, when he says dogs, he's not talking about an animal. He's talking, that's a figure of speech, I guess you could say, of those that are not acting like Christians. Sorcerers. Well, we don't want to be a sorcerer. Of course, that's wrong. We know that. The sexually immoral, the murderers, very obvious. We can see these things. Everybody knows it's wrong to murder. Idolaters, well, even though we can say we know it's wrong, there are a lot of things that are idols to people. But also, everyone who loves and practices a lie. Is there anybody in here that's never told a lie? Of course, I can't say I've never told a lie. During my life, I've told lies. And I can tell you I have not told a lie to you since I've been here because I may not always know everything because I don't sometimes. But you and I are Christians, and we are required not to lie. Are we not? Let's look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Now, Paul goes on and talks quite a bit about what God expects from us. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, and we see this example, he's talking about the Gentiles here, but in chapter 2, he talks about the Israelites. So right now, he's talking about the Gentiles, but he's also talking about the Jews or the Israelites or the Christians. You can take it either way. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a debased mind. Do we not have in our society today a lot of debased things going on? Do a lot of our leaders not lie a lot in our politicians, in our government circles, and in the businesses we practice. He gave them over to a debased mind to do things which are not fitting. And then he talks about things that are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness. But then notice, covetousness, the 10th commandment. Maliciousness, going after people for no reason. Full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They're whisperers. You ever have somebody come up and say, let me tell you something? All of us have in our life. I can tell you one thing that's fairly clear, and I learned this a long time ago. If someone is coming to you or coming to me talking about another person, you can be fairly sure they're also talking about you. Now, some people, as I grew up in school and in work, there are certain people that just always want confusion and always want to be talking about other people. And hey, God loves those people, but it's not right. We need to think about it. Hey, we all have done this. If you haven't done it, you're probably not seeing it because we've all done this. I certainly know I have, but that's not to be our way of life. They're backbiters. They're haters of God. They're violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. And he's telling us not to be like this. Let's take a look at our world today. Because our world today is filled with this breaking of the 9th commandment. This breaking of the 9th commandment. And yet, even though everybody makes mistakes, do we look at ourselves? And do I look at myself? And we need to consider what we are doing when we do these things. Like that man that sold me that mattress. He knew that mattress wasn't as good as he made it sound like. He made it sound like I was buying a piece of, hard to say a piece of heaven, but that's probably not the right term. But he made me sound like that mattress was a lot more than it really was. Now in John 1, I'm not going to turn there. Well, actually I will. John chapter 1, let me read a few verses. Here when Jesus Christ was beginning to walk the earth and he was choosing his disciples. And in verse 45, We see here Jesus, and in verse 45, Philip found Nathanael, and he said to Nathanael, we found him who Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. He's the man. They could see, and I could go back and I could point out, and I tried to do that this morning on my sermon about John the Baptist, how John actually pointed his disciples toward Jesus Christ rather than trying to point them toward himself. But Nathanael, after Philip said this, Nathanael said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip said, well, come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, and he said, behold, an Israelite indeed, whom is no guile. Who is no guile. Now, the word guile, it basically means simple, uncomplicated, without deceit, without subtlety. In other words, a person that you can trust what they're saying. Hey, Nathanael wasn't perfect, but Nathanael was not one who hated the Samaritans or hated whatever the case may be. Now, consider what Jesus said here. He was basically saying, here was an Israelite in whom there was not a lot of falsehood. And yet the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the leaders, they were lying all the time, even lying about Jesus, saying he was an illegitimate birth. He seems to be looking at Nathanael as some type of a person that really was special. Now let's fast forward to modern times. Lying is such an integral part of our fabric in this country. Now let's just narrow it down to our country, You could narrow it down to our state. You know, we can keep narrowing it down, I guess you could say. But lying is such an integral part of the fabric of our lives, we've coined expressions like, is that so? Well, if somebody tells you something, shouldn't it be so? Or things like, do you really mean it? Well, if somebody tells you something, wouldn't it be true? Now, we can kid around, things like that, but I'm talking about literally telling a falsehood to either make yourself look better or to hurt another person. Now, we expect advertisers to exaggerate the quality of their product, but should they? We expect politicians to lie, but should they? We expect business deals to not be totally what we see on the surface, but should we? Is that what God expects? Now, Winston Churchill, who you've all heard of, he was talking about disinformation once, and he sent out in a news report in World War II. Now, I'm going to read what Winston Churchill said. Now, let's think about what he said. He said, truth is so precious, it must be surrounded by a bodyguard of lies. Well, what does that mean? Truth is so precious, it must be surrounded by a bodyguard of lies. Well, what he was saying, in other words, he was saying we have to lie to protect the truth. That's not correct. There's all types of misinformation. You know, we look back at World War II, look at all this disinformation. You see it today. Look at the politicians. Look at these contests that came on. They all talk about each other. They have no fault. Man, they're so good. But, oh, what's wrong with all the other people? Do we not see this everywhere in the world today? Our leaders, our employers, our media, even our so-called friends, do we see people lying so they can be considered whatever the case may be? Now, is that what God would expect from a Christian nation or a Christian people? Of course not. You know that, and I know that. Now, the next passage I think is very interesting. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah 29. Now, in Isaiah 29, the preceding verses, my Bible has, for chapter 29, it says, woe to Jerusalem. Then you read on and on and on, and then you get down to verse 13. Now, before, God is basically, through the prophet Isaiah, is saying how Jerusalem is going to fall, and it describes it as being like a burnt offering because it's going to burn to the ground in certain ways. Go back and read it. But then verse 13, 14, and 15, notice what it says. Therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people, who? Israel. Inasmuch as these people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. How many people are afraid to step away from what they followed all their life because it doesn't go with the flow? How many people learn something in life about a truth or whatever the case may be, God's way of life, and it's going against the flow? It makes them look awkward, makes them look different. And yet how many people will say they love God? And we all have mistakes. That's not the point. But how many people in this world, they'll say how much they love God, but yet, do they really? Because isn't the truth in how we act? Therefore, behold, I will again do a marvelous work, says Isaiah, the word of God through Isaiah, among this people, a marvelous work and a wonder. But what kind of marvelous work? What kind of wonder? For the wisdom of their wise men will perish. You know what's considered wise? What's considered the way to do it is not necessarily, and often case, totally opposite of what God tells us to do. And their understanding, their prudent men shall be hidden. Woe to those who seek deep and hide their counsel far from the Lord. And their works are in the dark. They say, who sees us? Who knows us? Have you heard that in this world? Have you heard that on your job? Have you seen that? We parade the slogans like, "In God we trust," "One nation under God." Yet, how many lies are told in court by witnesses who stand up and guarantee they're telling the truth, proclaiming God, and appear to be worshiping, but are they? Matthew 15. I think this is a subject that we all need to think about. And I spoke on this subject, not this exact sermon, but I remember speaking on this subject at the Feast of Tabernacles one year, because it was something on my mind. And I think it's a good thing for us, because, you know, you won't have me around to bother you that much longer, a couple more months. But yet I think there's certain things we need to make sure that before I leave, that I cover, and this happens to be one of them, for all our sake, because I love all of you. I care about you. And I'm telling you, and I'm telling myself, what God tells us. If God tells us something, we're supposed to speak it and to bring it to our attention. In Matthew 15, here's Jesus Christ talking to the Pharisees. Back to verse 1 of chapter 15, the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus, and they started throwing these little tricky questions at him. And then in verse 7, Jesus said, "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you." And what does he read? What does he say? He quotes the scripture in Isaiah we've just read. "These people draw near to me with their mouth, they honor me with their lips, but their heart's far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching the commandments of men." You know, we can tell somebody all day long that Sunday is the Sabbath because it was changed at the resurrection, but it's still not in the Bible, is it? Deuteronomy 32, verse 1 through 6. "Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak." This is called, in my Bible, the Song of Moses. Moses spoke this in the sight of the congregation. He said, "Give ear, O heavens, I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth." Here came Moses, right before he died. "Let my teaching drop as the rain, and my speech distill as the dew. As raindrops on the tender herb, as showers on the grass, for I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God." He's the rock. Not that any human being is the rock. God is the rock. You know, 1 Corinthians 10:4 says Jesus Christ was that rock from the Old Testament. He's the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. They have corrupted themselves. They are not his children. They were Israelites, but they weren't following what God told them to do because of their blemish. A perverse, a crooked generation. Do you thus deal with the Lord? O foolish and unwise people, is not he your father who bought you? Has he not made you and established you? Remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. He says, look back at the miracles that were performed. Now notice what is said about Jesus in Revelation. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Here's a comment. Just one verse. Verse 11, Revelation 19. Of course, I'm just breaking into a section. But one verse here. "Then I saw heaven open." John saw heaven opened. "And behold, a white horse. and he who sat on him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. God's war is not like mankind's war, where we're trying to win whatever battle might be out there. God in righteousness makes war. Now let's add John 14:6 to the equation. John 14:6, one verse here. Again, I'm just breaking into a section. Let's see what it says in John 14:6. These are the words of Jesus Christ. He says, Jesus said to him, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. When we pray to the Father, we say in the name of Jesus Christ. We have three things linked here. We have Deuteronomy 32, where God is revealed as a God of truth and justice. We read it in Deuteronomy 32. We have Revelation 19, where Jesus Christ is called the true and the faithful. And we have John 14:16, where it says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Again, Deuteronomy 32, verse 1 through 6 says, God is revealed as a God of truth and justice. Revelation 19 says Jesus is true and faithful. John 14:16 says Jesus is the way, he's the truth, he's the life. All of these contrasted to the people who call themselves by the name of God, saying they were Christians, but yet not following God's way. Hey, we all make mistakes. We've been covering 1 John, and it says in 1 John, if we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar. Because we have sinned. We have sinned. Continue to sin. We need a Savior. Now, Jesus, well, he's the true and he's faithful. Always sticks to his word. Never deviates from what is true. And in Revelation 19, when I read that, faithful means basically reliable, trustworthy in any community. We have to be trustworthy, do we not? When the church of God, despite our flaws, despite the fact that we're human and we have weaknesses, we have to strive for truth. Now, in any community, I'm thinking in terms of our nation because it's the most obvious here, who must be the most faithful and true above all others? Well, our leaders. Our leaders. Who must be reliable? Who must be able to be trusted? Well, our leaders. Who in the Bible does God show as the most important in the aspect of the community? Well, he looked to the leaders, the kings of Israel, the prophets, those who were the leaders. Now, how many times does it say that? It's not the doctors. It's not the lawyers. Now, I'm talking about our time, our own society today now. Not the lawyers. It's not the doctors. It's not the media. Not the politicians. That wasn't hard. Not the businessmen, it's primarily the leadership. And in the church of God, it is all of us, but it begins with our leaders. I have a responsibility to tell the truth. So do the elders, so do the deacons, deaconesses, so does every member, but we have to set the bar of being truthful and never deviating from the truth, even though when it's painful to say. Now, again, we all make mistakes. But what are we supposed to do? Hide things? Lie? Be deceitful? Have all these intrigues? No, of course not. How many times does God declare a king in the Old Testament, either good or bad, based on the morality of that king? And throughout the Old Testament, the New Testament, God declares those who are called to be the leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, based on if they're truthful or not. Now we can take a look, and this is not the point of the subject, but look at the two witnesses that will come at the end of the age. They're going to be murdered for a reason, because they speak the truth. And society will not want to hear the truth. And God will protect them, but because of the truth they speak, telling the world, telling the nations, what most human beings don't want to hear. They don't want to hear. They won't want to hear. They want lies rather than truth. They want to say, everything's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. And we're saturated with that in society, in our media. We're saturated like, don't worry. It's all going to be okay. Stretch the truth. Do whatever you think you need to do to get your way, because the end justifies the means, but it doesn't. The end doesn't justify the means. Truth is what God expects from all of us. Lies allow ones to ignore the laws of God. A lie says you don't need to do that because it doesn't really matter. Or a lie will say, well, you know, it doesn't matter what day you keep. Or a lie will say, well, I keep the Sabbath 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's psychobabble. How do you do that? When do they rest? I mean, all these things. And of course, not only the leaders, not only the ministers, or the elders, or the deacons, or whatever the case may be, but all people of God are expected to speak the truth. It's serious business that we learn to put a governor on our mouth, on our words, that we speak the truth. Sometimes I have to say things sometimes that I'd rather not have to say. But I have to speak the truth. And you have to speak the truth. Look at John 17. John chapter 17. Now here is the, I guess you could call it the true Lord's Prayer, because here's Jesus Christ on the night before he was arrested and then crucified. You know, in verse 1 of John 17, Jesus spoke these words. He lifted up his eyes to heaven and he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. Jesus Christ glorified the Father by what he was about to go through. And then he goes on, but notice what he said in verse 17, famous scripture, sanctify them by your truth. And what's the truth? Your word is truth. The truth comes from the Bible. The truth doesn't come from somebody telling you, you don't need to do that. The truth comes from the Bible. Now, the word truth, it's actually a little bit deeper than it may even appear on the surface here. The Greek word is aletheia, means truth, but even in a deeper sense, it means reality. What do you mean, reality? Well, it's like saying, not only sanctify them by your truth, but sanctify it by your reality. Reality is visible. It's unconcealed. You might say something like, the real issue is, it is truth that lies at the basis of what's being discussed. Anything we do in life is based on the truth. Jesus Christ is absolutely reliable. We read some scriptures. Jesus Christ is absolutely trustworthy. Jesus Christ never deviated, because he's always going to use reality, the truth, God's truth. It's a basis of everything he did while he was on the earth. And this is our goal, to be reliable, to be truthful, to be reliable. And yet, we're human, and we know all of us can't do it on our own. None of us measure up to the fullness of Jesus Christ, but are we truthful? Are we truthful? Anytime I or you or anyone else should say something about another person, it's not the truth. The question is why? What's the point? What is the point? John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Now, Jesus started basically a long section here. I would say the main part is in John chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. But in verse 13, in fact, let's read verse 12 first. Verse 12, John 8. Then Jesus spoke to them, and he said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. He said that to these Pharisees. What was their response? The Pharisees therefore said, you bear witness of yourself. Your witness isn't true. And Jesus said, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For I know where I came from, and I know where I'm going, but you don't know where I've come from, and you don't know where I'm going. I don't think they like that a whole lot. I could read on here, down to verse 30. Verse 30. Then he spoke these words. He spoke of many believed him. They were believing in him. And Jesus said to those who believed him, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It will set you free from all these false ideas that aren't true. And for us Christians, wherever they may be, if it's not true, it's not of God. If it's a lie, it's not of God. And they answered him in verse 33. Did they take this? Oh, no. They're not going to take this from him. He said, we're Abraham's descendants. We've never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Then, did they like it? Verse 37, I know you're Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. Now he's getting more direct, and they're getting more and more angry. They answered and said to him, Abraham's our father. Jesus said to them, you are Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Did Abraham lie, cheat, steal, break the commandments of God? Of course not. Now you seek to kill me, a man who told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham didn't do this. You do the deeds of your father. He gets more direct. They said to him, we're not born of fornication. Now they accuse him of being illegitimate. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? He said. And he says, why? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You're of your father, the devil. You think they liked that? And the desires of your father, you want to do. He was a murderer from the very beginning. He doesn't stand in the truth. There's no truth in him, no truth in the devil. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? Because they claimed he was illegitimate. They claimed all types of things that he did. If I tell you the truth, why don't you believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you don't hear me because you are not from God. It continues to ratchet up until verse 59. Then they took up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So Satan is diametrically opposite of God. He's the father of lies. He's 100% unmodified in deceit. Now, he'll tell the truth sometime, but it always is to get to the end the lie. He may and will tell the truth at times, but never totally complete on anything. If Satan looked like a drawing, he wouldn't be a little red little devil-looking thing with a pitchfork, would he? He would be looking good. As Christians, we're to be cutting out lies and falsehoods. And it comes to us in so many different ways. It comes to us in doctrine. comes to us in all types of things. God is constantly watching my and your and Christians, wherever they may be, response to see how we respond to the truth. By proper response to the truth, we show God that we really love him. We have to be truthful. Every once in a while, you're going to trip, I'm going to trip, we're going to fall. But if we're true Christians, we repent, we pick ourselves up, and we go on. Now, in the broadest sense, the ninth commandment has very far-reaching applications. You know, it says, you shall not bear false witness. The word bear means you shall not spread, carry, render, or give anything false. There are those and even numerous Bible commentators that say, well, that only applies to in court. But no, that's not what the Bible says. Jesus showed that the commandment includes any situation in life which a falsehood would injure. Any falsehood will injure the reputation of God if we lie and say we cannot lie. We cannot lie. It's as simple as that. If we lie, you'll injure someone's name, someone's reputation, or whatever the case may be. And so we might say, well, we can, you know, lie, we just twist the truth a little bit or protect whatever. But God says, let me protect that person. You just tell the truth. Speaking to all of us, I'm speaking to me, we are to not lie. Now, there is a time that it's acceptable to lie? Of course not. Sometimes people will try to tell them it is. You know, right now, this time of the year, people are telling their kids, this big old fat guy is going to come down a chimney. It's a lie. And they'll say, well, does it matter? Of course it matters. Proverbs 22. Let's look at a few Proverbs here before we head to our conclusion. Proverbs 22. The one that used to always make me shake my head was the Easter Bunny. When you take your kid or someone takes their kid to the mall to see the Easter Bunny, kids are crying and screaming. That thing was scary looking. Who's ever seen a rabbit that big? But Proverbs 22, verse 1. Look at a few Proverbs here. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. That man that told me when he tried to sell me that mattress, my name is my bond. In Tennessee, we don't lie. Yeah. Loving favor rather than silver and gold. Well, a person's name is their most valuable asset. Yet we see things said from time to time about another person that's flat out not true. And yet we just think we can do that? And we know we're lying? Don't do that for your own sake. Not for the sake of the other person, but for your own sake. It's not godly to do this because it's falsely hurting another person or a group of people's reputation. At the bottom line, at the very base of this problem, this resistance to the truth, is a deceitful heart that continually lays traps to make lying an appealing course to follow. And guess who we lie to first when we do this? We lie to ourselves. That's not God's way. Again, we've all made mistakes in our life. That's not the point. But when we do, when we have, why? Proverbs 13, verse 15. Good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. What do you mean hard? Well, the way of the transgressors, the way of the, it's hard. When we lie, when we do things we know we shouldn't do, are we really, are we going to be happy? Of course you're not, and I'm not. Why do we lie? We lie because we're vainly attempting to control something sometimes. It means it's our way of manipulating things. We don't really want the reality to be known about this or that or the other thing, so we manipulate with a lie. Hoping to control another person's way of thinking. We've seen it over the years. We've seen it in life. You've seen it on your job. You've seen it all around the world, all this lying to get your way. How could every one of these candidates were the perfect candidate? But who is perfect? And yet, we have to look at ourselves. We're Christians. Are we stuck in that sometimes? Proverbs chapter 26. We'll spend a little time here as we head toward a conclusion. Proverbs 26 says a lot about this. Verse 18. Like a madman or a madwoman, a mad person, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor. Who deceives his neighbor. You know, lies can hurt. A liar just throws things out. A man who deceives his neighbor and disguises his deception like it's a joke, it's dangerous. God is saying when we lie, it's going to hurt somebody. And God's saying that's an insane thing to do. Deception is done to manipulate, to control the direction that the lying person wants us to go, regardless if it's going to hurt somebody or else. Proverbs 26, verse 23. Fervent lips with a wicked heart are like the earthenware covered with silver dross, like a glaze. In other words, how do I put this? Lies hurt. And they're also hurting the one who gives it. Look at verse 24. He who hates disguises it with their lips. Disguises it with their lips. And lays up deceit within himself. And when he speaks kindly, don't believe him. For there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness will be revealed before the whole congregation. Who digs a pit will fall into it. And who rolls a stone will have it roll back on him. A lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it. And flattering mouth works ruin. Remember Absalom, he lied and lied and lied about David. And in the end, it didn't go well for Absalom, did it? God is saying a person who's lying is doing so out of hatred. Maybe envy, it may be jealousy, it may be anger, it may be intrigue, but the fact still remains that a lie is because of hatred for the truth. Why else would we lie? They may say, well, I'm not lying to hurt anyone, but in reality, God says it's better to tell the truth or to say nothing at all than to give an answer that's a lie. Basically, these Proverbs, beginning verse 23 that we read, it's all involving hypocrisy. It's all about hypocrisy. Again, we all need a Savior. We all fall short. But are we looking at what we say? Are we looking at how we're dealing with each other? Verse 26 said that it'll eventually become clear. Every time it eventually gets clear if we're lying about another person. In the pit, you know, verse 27, where I read, who digs a pit falls into it. Well, the pit is the pit of lies. Lies will have what they lie about come back on them. And then verse 28 says, hatred is behind the lies. Somehow we hate whatever the case may be. Now, you don't need me to turn there, but Jeremiah 17:9 says, our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? When we let Satan influence us, we will not tell the truth. Says our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, without God's help, we're all just stumbling around. We lie, and even in our lies, we often begin to lie by trying to deceive ourselves. We try to convince ourselves it's okay to lie about another, and we justify it often by saying, "Well, that's not really a lie, but it is a lie." deceitful. Well, that word can be translated faithless. Well, a deceitful heart is faithless. It's insecure, it's hypocritical, it's underhanded, it's false, it's dishonest, it's treacherous, it's sneaky, double-dealing, tricky, cunning, crafty. You and I are not to lie. And if I did not leave this congregation without making that clear, it applies to me. I know that. I have the first response that it applies to me. But we're not to lie. We can try to justify it, but the point is, our heart, uncontrolled by God, it's just out there waiting to be bad. Better translation of Jeremiah. Well, let me turn to Jeremiah 17, because we're right at the end of the sermon. You can look at the Hebrew word, because it's translated different ways. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things. We can convince ourselves anything is okay." How many times have people just said, "Oh, they're going to quit keeping the Sabbath day"? Where does that come from? And yet, it's a lie. And if we were told to quit keeping the Sabbath day, the true Sabbath, well, wouldn't we leave? The heart's deceitful. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know that heart? Well, look at the next verse. This is who can know it. I, the Lord, I search the heart. I test the mind. We are all being looked at by God despite our frailties, despite our weaknesses. He is there, but he knows. He knows when we're telling the truth. I test the mind. I give even to every man, and of course woman, according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings. We need God to help us root out these falsehoods. It's so easy to justify ourselves, but the end result is found in Galatians chapter 6. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. Just like when we have an issue, just for an example, if you grow up, you're around people that curse all the time, there's a tendency to get caught up in the same thing. You've got to root that out. If you or I are around at work or wherever the case may be, where people are lying all the time, it's easy to just get caught up in it, but it doesn't make it right. It's the ninth commandment. Galatians 6. Verse 3 through 7. For if anyone thinks them to be something when he is nothing, our next breath is only because God gives it to us. If anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Let each one examine his own work, and then he or she will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for each one shall bear his own load. Let him who is taught the word share all good things of him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God's not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that they will reap. So we're not fooling anybody. God is a merciful God, of course. We're not fooling anybody when we say things we know isn't true. Final scripture. Psalm number 15. Let me read this psalm in its entirety. It's a psalm of David, and David lied, did he not? And he had to repent of that lie. Psalm 15, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? And we can say, who is going to be in the kingdom of God? Who may dwell in your holy hill? And then he answers it. He or she who walks uprightly, who works righteousness, who speaks the truth in his heart, he who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt, even if it's going to make you have to pay something, you still tell the truth, is what it's saying. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change, he who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent, he or she who does these things shall never be moved. So it's saying to abide in God's holy hill is to be allowed to be in God's presence, to be allowed to be in God's kingdom. And the answer is the man or the woman who lives a life of honesty and integrity toward God and neighbor. But God's Ten Commandments, they never change. God expects us to value all his commandments. And the ninth commandment is one of his commandments. We're not to bear false witness toward God or man. And that's pivotal in having a proper and rewarding relationship which will lead you and I into the presence, the kingdom, and family of God.